Well, good evening, and welcome to our Wednesday night Bible study. Glad you're joining us this evening, or maybe you're watching this at a later time, but we're glad that you're tuning in. We're doing a study in the book of Philippians for these next several weeks, and tonight I'll be reading out of Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, down through Philippians chapter 2, and verse 11. So I encourage you tonight, if you have your Bibles handy, go ahead and grab them as we study this portion of Scripture, and we make application to our lives. So just before we begin to read, just as a reminder, the Apostle Paul, he is in prison. He is in prison in Rome. He's going to spend 2 years there, and that's where he writes this book. He writes back to the Christians that are in the city of Philippi. And he writes this as an encouragement to them. He writes this to them to teach them and to help them grow in the faith of Jesus Christ. So tonight, as I begin reading, verse 27, the Bible says this, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which he saw in me, and now here to be in me. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath also have highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's blessing on the Bible study tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening and we ask and pray your blessing now upon our Bible study, that you would guide us, that you would teach us and direct us in these truths, that, Lord, you'd help us to make application to our lives. And, Lord, I do pray and ask that if there be someone watching tonight that has never received Jesus Christ as their Savior, Lord, I depend upon you, Holy Spirit, to touch their heart, to cause them to realize their need of Christ, and that they would ask him to be their Savior, that they would admit to him their sin and believe that Jesus died on the cross to pay for their sin. And tonight they'd call upon him to be their Savior. Thank you again, Lord, for all that you're doing in our lives. Thank you for loving us. Watch over our country. We ask again that you'd be with all of our, the leadership of our country. Give them skill and wisdom and understanding on how to continue to deal with this pandemic. We also pray, Lord, for our state and local leaders as they have to make decisions. Please give them wisdom. We ask, Lord, again, that you'd be with our doctors, our nurses, our first responders, all those that are out in the public, those that are working in the businesses that are still open and operating. We ask that you would keep them safe and just protect them. And Lord, again, we ask that you would help us to get through this, that you would drive this virus from our nation. And we do pray too, Lord, for many who have experienced throughout, not only our country, but throughout the world, They have lost loved ones, family members, co-workers. Just comfort them, Lord. Just show them your kindness. Show them your grace and your mercy and your love in their lives as they're dealing with losing a loved one. So we pray for them. Bless the Bible study tonight. Teach us again. In Jesus' name, amen. So this is the third in a series of lessons that we've been teaching out of the book of Philippians, and kind of broke down chapter one, and you'll see here a little bit in chapter two as well, into really three parts. We dealt with the fellowship of the gospel, and in verse 5 of chapter 1, Paul writes this, "For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now." And then he spoke in verse 12 of the furtherance of the gospel. He said, "But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." So first we talked about the fellowship of the gospel, then we talked about the furtherance of the gospel, but tonight, if you noticed, in verse 27, as we were reading through, Paul said, "Stand fast in one spirit and one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." And that's the theme of our Bible study tonight, the faith of the gospel. Now, it's interesting in the Bible, but when you look at and study out the word faith, you find it in a number of different scenarios, a number of different meanings. So, for instance, sometimes when the word faith is used, well, it's talking about a saving faith, how we need to place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That's how we're saved. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." And so that's one aspect of faith, that we receive Christ as our Savior. He came to be the Savior of the world. That's all we'll be, as we approach Easter Sunday, that's what we think. Why did Jesus go to the cross? He went to the cross to save us from our sin, to die and pay for our sin on the cross, to be buried, and 3 days later, he rose from the dead, victorious over sin and over death. So often in the Bible, when the word faith is used, it's used in that context, the context of accepting Christ as our Savior. But sometimes the word faith is used as a serving faith. So in other words, we live out our faith every day. Why do we do things? Why do we pray? That's part of our faith. Why do we read our Bibles? That's part of our faith. Why do we go to church when we can? That's part of our faith. That's the instruction that God's word gives us. So the Bible, the Word of God, that's this body of truth that we're studying, that tells us about our faith. It tells us about how we get saved and become a part of the family of God, but it also encompasses all that's involved with our faith and how we live that faith out. And then also sometimes the word faith is used in the Bible to teach us about a separating faith. In other words, it's teaching us we accept Christ as our Savior by faith. That's how we become Christians. We serve God by faith as we study the Word of God. And then the separating faith, the idea behind that is the Scriptures separate us to things or they separate us from things. So you'll often find that is how the word faith is used throughout the Scriptures. But you notice this in verse 27, as Paul is writing to the Christians in Philippi, he says, "Only let your conversation," that word in the Bible, it means your behavior, let your not just what you say, but how you act and your attitude, "only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs." And he uses these two phrases, that you stand fast in one spirit, stand fast. The term stand fast is a military term. It kind of means to hold the line, to stand fast, hold the line. Don't give up on the line. Don't retreat. Just stand fast, just like it sounds. And so Paul uses those two words all throughout his epistles, stand fast, hold the line. And then he uses these words. So he says that ye stand fast in one spirit and with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. And then that word striving together, it's an athletic term. It means to give it your all. A few days ago, they said that the Summer Olympics would be postponed and the Summer Olympics would be moved into next summer. Well, the athletes that go to the Olympics, if we were to use that term for them, striving together, if it was a team sport, we would say that they would all, as a team, be giving all that they have, to win the gold medal. And Paul not only used a lot of military terms as he wrote the epistles, but he wrote a lot of athletic terms. So striving together for the faith of the gospel. So we hold the line and we give it our all. All of the energy that we can possibly give, we give for the faith of the gospel. And then he kind of encourages the believers in Philippi, and he says this, "And in nothing terrified by your adversaries." There were a lot of adversaries to the gospel. There were a lot of struggles that were taking place. There was a lot of opposition to Christianity. There was then, and in some ways there is still today, which is to them, he said, an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. In other words, what he's saying is this, yeah, those who oppose you, they're just showing evidence that they live lives contrary to the truth of God's word, and one day they'll be judged for that. But if they are your adversaries, if they are giving you a difficult time, then it's in some ways evidence of the salvation that you have in Jesus Christ, the faith that you have in Christ, and the faith by which you're serving him by. So Paul writes that to them. "For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake." There was a lot of suffering in the early church. And by the way, there's a lot of suffering for Christians today throughout the world. There are many organizations that remind us that Christians suffer for their faith. We live here in America. We live in a free country. We've lived in just unprecedented, peaceful, and prosperous times, at least my generation. It's been incredible. And we don't really suffer for our faith. But I want to tell you that throughout the world, there are millions of people who suffer for serving Jesus Christ, who suffer for believing in Jesus Christ. And so we're mindful of that, and we need to be mindful of that. We need to pray for them. So Paul writes that to them, the suffering. But the faith of the gospel, you know, the word gospel, it means good news. It's the good news of Jesus Christ. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ to save us from our sin. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, the Bible says this, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Those were the instructions that Jesus gave to the disciples after his resurrection, that they were to go into all the world and they were to preach the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. The fact that Jesus came, the Son of God, the God-man came to die and pay for the sins of the world. And that's a wonderful truth. And that's why we're to stand fast, to hold the line, because we have the good news. That's why we're to use the energies that God has given us to share our faith with the world around us, with people that are around us. The faith of the gospel, that's what Paul is writing to them here about. But it's interesting, too, as you read through the scriptures, there were some warnings that the Apostle Paul gave. And not only the Apostle Paul, but others, other of the apostles as well. For instance, Paul writes to the churches in Galatia. If you were to turn, you don't need to turn there, but if we were to turn to the book of Galatians. And Galatians, unlike Philippians is an epistle written to a particular city. The book of Galatians, that's a region, and there were multiple churches there. And he writes this, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ." So, listen, right from the very beginning, there were those who began to preach another gospel. There were those who began to pervert the truth, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to change it. He would write to the church in Corinth, and listen to what he said. "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might bear with him." So he warns them, listen, somebody might come and preach another Jesus. They might come and preach another gospel. And it's kind of a little bit like sarcasm at the end. He says, you might bear with them. Well, if someone comes to you and they have something better than the gospel of Jesus Christ, then you might listen to them. But he's really saying this, these are just boastful teachers. They have nothing new to offer because, you see, there is nothing better than the gospel of Jesus Christ. What could possibly be better that God became a man in the person of Jesus Christ? That God stepped down from all the glories and the wonders of heaven and took upon himself human form and lived for 33 years in this sinful world and never sinned. That's why he could die and pay for our sin. And then he went to the cross, not because he deserved to go to the cross, but because you and I deserve to go to the cross. And he died and he paid for our sin. He was buried and he rose again the third day. What could be better than that? That by his grace and by his mercy, he came to do for us what we could never do for ourselves because the debt of sin is too great. What better message could there possibly be? And Paul writes to the church in Corinth and he says, be careful because there will be those who come and they'll bring another gospel to you. They'll actually bring another Jesus to you. Some years ago, I had someone stop by my house. They knocked on my door and they came in the name of Jesus. And we got into a discussion. We began to deal with some of the differences and some of the issues. And we kind of went round and round for a little bit. And then, and it was a cordial conversation. And we were both making our points. But then I turned to him and I said this. I said, but here's the reality. The Jesus that you worship and you represent is not the Jesus who I worship and represent. And you know what? He looked at me and he said, yeah, you're right. You're exactly right. So this is nothing new. This is nothing new. In fact, there are some that will give you a book and bring you a book, and that book will say, another gospel of Jesus Christ. Wow, how blatant can you possibly be? And yet, Paul warns us of those who bring other gospels and pervert the gospel. In Sunday's message, I preached out of John chapter 14 and verse 6, where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And I really emphasized that. And the idea that Jesus came to die and pay for our sin, and there is no other way. He is the only way. And someone might say this. They might say, Pastor Malachuk, are you saying that the only way to have your sins forgiven and the only way for you to get to heaven, the only way, are you saying it's only by accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior, putting your faith and trust in what he did for you on the cross? No, I'm not saying that. Jesus is saying that. I'm just repeating what Jesus said. Those are the words of Jesus. And I mentioned some other world religions that people believe in, and they believe those are the truth. And by the way, let me say this. I do believe that Jesus is the only way. But also, one of the great pieces of literature that was ever written was our Constitution, and the First Amendment gives people the right of free religion. And so I would defend the right for someone else to practice a different religion. I'm not saying I agree with it, but I would defend their right to practice that religion. But you see, I believe that the Christianity, biblical Christianity, and faith in Jesus Christ, as Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Paul's writing here to the church in Corinth, and he says, you stand fast in that belief, and you strive together in that belief. That's the faith of the gospel. So yeah, people can practice whatever they want, but I believe that the truth is biblical Christianity. But we're reminded here that there are perverted gospels and there are other gospels. And so let me just take the last few minutes of our Bible study tonight and let me just identify three ways or three things that would be a red flag if someone was to bring to you another gospel. You'll always find this. You'll always find when another gospel or when the gospel is perverted, it's changed, that there will be a de-emphasis. They will de-emphasize the deity of Jesus Christ, the fact that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. In chapter 2, he writes this, who being in the form of God, now he's speaking of Jesus, who being in the, well, let me back up to verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Paul uses that word equal. Speaking of Christ, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That means equal qualitatively in the original languages, and it means equal quantitatively. It's really saying that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh, his nature, his rank, who he was. That word equal is used in the Gospel of John. Listen to what it says here. And this is very interesting. Listen, therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Now certainly the Jews understood what Jesus was declaring. He was declaring himself to be God. He was declaring himself to be eternal. We would think, wouldn't we, if the Jews understood what he was saying, they would be the best interpreters of what he was saying. It's interesting, but if you do a little study in history, you would find that it was in about the 4th century that a man by the name of Arius of Alexander began to promote the idea that Jesus was a created being. Jesus isn't a created being. Long before he was born in the manger in Bethlehem, he existed. He's the eternal one. The Jewish leadership would get upset also in the Gospel of John because Jesus would say to him, just before he said, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free, he said to them, before Abraham was, I am. And they said, how can that be? You're just a young man. Abraham lived thousands of years ago. And Jesus was declaring to them that he was eternal. Jesus was God in the flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16 says this, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifest in the flesh. In other words, God became a man. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then the Bible goes on to say, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So someone comes to you and they say, well, we have another gospel, or they present some form of Christianity, but it takes away from the deity of Jesus Christ. Well, that's a red flag right there. Jesus was God in the flesh. He is the second person of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But secondly, you'll find that they de-emphasize the sufficiency of Christ. always be careful that someone comes along and tries to de-emphasize the sufficiency of Christ. And what do I mean by that? What I mean by that is in Christ, He is the one. He is sufficient for all that we need to have our sins forgiven and to be granted eternal life. He provided it all. Let me give you an example. Some people, even people who say that they're Christians, will say, well, yes, we need to have faith in Christ, but we need to live out the Ten Commandments in our lives as well. Now, are the Ten Commandments good? And should we try to live the Ten Commandments? And all the other commandments? By the way, there are over 600 commandments that are found in the Bible. And is it wrong to try to live by the Ten Commandments? No, absolutely not. That's why God gave them to us. But if you're trying to live out the Ten Commandments, and you're trying and hoping that that's going to gain you merit with God, no, that's not what happens. That's not how that works. The commandments were given to us. In fact, Paul would say that these things were written to us, they were like our schoolmaster, our teacher, to understand that, listen, I don't care how hard you try, sooner or later, you'll fail at one of the Ten Commandments. In fact, in the Beatitudes, Jesus upped it. He said, even if you don't commit an act of sin, but you think about it, He said, that's sin. So the Ten Commandments are good, but you don't gain any merit with God by keeping the Ten Commandments. Galatians 2:21 says this, I do not frustrate the grace of God, but if righteousness cometh by the law, meaning keeping the commandments, then Christ is dead in vain. There would have been no reason for him to come. God could have said, just keep all of the commandments, and if you keep them, you know, it's not like some big scale that hopefully, you know, your righteous acts will outweigh your unrighteous acts. It doesn't work that way. There is none righteous, no, not one. In fact, Isaiah said, all of our righteousnesses, they're as filthy rags. Let me give you another example. Prayer. Is prayer important? Yeah, prayer is important. It's absolutely important. God commands us to pray. But some people will put their hope in the multitude of their prayers. Maybe even in the repetition of their prayers. And listen to what Jesus said. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. In other words, you don't gain merit by the amount of time that you pray. There's no way that you and I can gain merit with God. Is prayer important? Absolutely. God commands us to pray. He says, you have not because you ask not. But we don't get any merit with God. It's a privilege that God gives us. And by the way, He gives us that privilege. It's based upon what Jesus has done for us. It's our faith in Christ. Someone said, prayer is the door to heaven, but faith unlocks the door. It is at the cross that all that was necessary for your sin and for my sin to be forgiven was accomplished. It's not some scale. It's not through some human or religious effort. It's through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So be careful when people come to you or teach you. Number one, they'll de-emphasize the deity of Christ. They'll de-emphasize the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. He's sufficient in all that we need. We place our faith, we place our trust in Him. These other things are important. Again, don't get me wrong. Going to church, communion, being baptized. But none of that washes away your sin. Only what Jesus has done for you on the cross. We do those things because we have put our faith in Him. Remember what I said at the beginning of the Bible study? There's the saving faith, and then there is the serving faith. Saving faith makes us a child of God. Serving faith is indication that we are a child of God. And then as we finish up, lastly, be careful if there are those that de-emphasize the authority of Jesus. The authority of Jesus. I should have read verse 8, but let me read it now. It was really part of my second point. It said this, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and he became obedient unto death even the death of the cross. That's the sufficiency. But then it says, wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and of things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Listen, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is supreme. He is sovereign. He is superior. What? Because he is God. He's God. Some will teach you, well, he was a great teacher. And was he a great teacher? Absolutely. But he's more than a great teacher. Some will say, even some in other religions will say, well, he was a great prophet. But he was more than a great prophet. He was the Son of God. Some will say he was a great philosopher. Some would even say, well, he was a great miracle worker. And he was all of those things. But he was God in the flesh. There were those, when he would calm the sea, that they would say, even the wind and the sea obey his voice. Because he is the creator of the wind and the sea and all that there is. So be careful as we finish up, and we've really run out of time. Don't be careful of those that will come and de-emphasize the authority of Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Every tongue. And let's be careful as believers. Let's stand fast. As Paul said, let's strive together for the faith of the gospel. Let's be careful that we do not de-emphasize the deity of Christ by taking who he is lightly. Let's be careful that we do not de-emphasize the sufficiency of Christ. Let's not get caught up in the treadmill of hoping that if we do this and we do that, that it'll gain merit with God. And let's be careful that we do not de-emphasize the authority of Jesus in our lives, that you and I are true disciples, that we walk with him in truth. Well, that's our Bible study for tonight. Thanks for joining us.